WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins
of Austin Aries. This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Mojo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
There's some sort of high-toned and fancy to-do up at the fort, eh?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
You said you'd say that.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
I apologize if I seem forward, but I must speak my mind.
The Omega.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Heartbreak Mike.
Why is the run gone?
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I believe you made a very good decision today.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gents, our hope is restored.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
For 10 years we've been tested and tried.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night.
Every man worth his salt. And crazy to boot.
You could get high or you could get low. You could stay young or you could grow old. Let it go. Cause I'ma go for broke. You could go hard or you could go home. You could live life or you could just fold. Let it go. Cause I'ma go for broke.
Look, I started with a dollar and a dream, right? So I can show these people how to dream, right? I can show them how to aim for the stars and take it to the arenas from the street life. Damn, oh, this is what the top feels like. I still remember ramen noodle meal night. I still remember checking my account and having $26 when I signed my record deal night. And I remember being cold in my apartment, used the heater from the kitchen stove. Highs and lows, that's how it goes. So I gotta roll something up just to cope with the pressure.
And welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, coming to you a little bit late because we weren't sure the wrestling stopped.
And I've been doing a lot of math.
Rock has been doing math.
I've had to do the intern's job of doing the pick'em results. I've done the fantasy, I've taken notes for the show, I've been doing all the work.
This required algebra tonight.
I had to divide, subtract, multiply.
Good lord.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Please, don't multiply.
Almost used all the keys on the keyboard. Wow.
There were not a lot of pluses. In the results, in sabotage results. Anyway.
That's supposed to be the fun of it. So, we have SummerSlam to go over. A whole lot of goddamn wrestling, so we better get to it. This is the Omega, the be-all end of all... It's getting late.
Take two.
And go.
The be-all end all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Heartbreak Mike. We are going to talk about this pay-per-view that just happened. Streaks were undefeated. Well, undefeated streaks were defeated. And then titles were exchanged. And then the greatest main event of all time, the greatest tag team, interfered and took out the... Wait, this is not the fucking pay-per-view I want to talk about. Fuck.
When undefeated streak ended?
Didn't end.
Almas got a victory.
Mike just mad because he got no points.
No. Fuck SummerSlam.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Oh.
And the one who has to somehow lead the way through this mire of wrestling, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a SummerSlam edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I've actually got myself set up with a brand new microphone. Does it sound funny?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Like, in what way?
Like you're too close to it, and it's not sensitive enough if you back up.
So how about now, kids?
That's a little better.
Okay. still getting used to it. It's a wireless mic that I'm using. I'm not using a headset tonight.
That would do it. All right, now we know the problem.
Now we know the problem. Tim's not using a headset.
Right. This is where Tim says some things.
Oh, this is where I do some more talking. So, yeah, SummerSlam edition of WTR Sunday Night Tonight. We're going to be taking a look at it, giving your opinions. And I think we're going to have at least one dissenting opinion, which I'm kind of sort of looking God forward
damn
to.
Right.
Yeah, there it is. I'm looking forward to hearing this.
So,
but of course,
can I start, Tim? Can I start?
What time did the show kick off tonight?
5 p.m. on the East Coast.
5 p.m. on the East Coast, so 3 o'clock for me. I was still at work. I didn't get out of work until 5 o'clock local time, which is 7 o'clock on the East Coast.
Well, you didn't. If you missed the first match, 90% of the people missed the first match, too. But we'll get there. We'll get there. First, when you stick your people in noses, I mean stick your nose in people's business, this was the start of Baron Corbin's night.
I will admit, I missed quite a bit of the pre-show because I was at the grocery store.
This was a Corbin interview. When you stick your people in noses. That's a direct quote.
When you stick your people in noses.
He screwed up on live. He cut a live promo. When you stick your people in noses.
No, he meant that. That nigga meant that.
Yeah. You remember that game they played on Double Dare? I had to get the flag out of the giant nose.
Physical challenge.
There you go. What was the physical challenge was Jason Jordan and the Hardy Boys taking on Miz and the Miztourage. First thing we learned, there are about 10 people in the building. Number 2, Jason Jordan's shrine is now green and yellow. So I guess he lost his red, white, and blue jeans. It's true.
Oh, God. People say that I tell bad jokes.
Wasn't a bad joke. It was truthful. Because there was a segment later with Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle.
No.
They were doing a yes-no back and forth, yes. But the look when Brian brought up his kid is like, oh, right. Yeah, right. That's a thing, right. Yep. Anyway, it was a fine match. It was what you would expect in a six-man tag. Finish saw Miz getting a blind tag, hitting the skull-crushing finale on Jason Jordan. Your winner, Miz and the Miztourage. Another memorable line from Lita. Now, this is not a direct quote, but these were comments she was basically making. Straps down and thongs up. Because when Jason Jordan pulled down his straps, you probably could see his thong, I guess. Because she mentioned that Jordan was playing her part in the Hardy Boys angle.
No, that's a very, very unpleasant mental image.
The first...
We go ahead. Do not need that visual.
They brought it up. I did not. So, Dean and Seth were in the social media lounge. The first question that was asked... So what is your tag team name? Yep, that was a question that was asked. What is your tag team name? And Dean apparently has a long list of names, but they'll discuss that later. All right, first really good match of the night. Cruiserweight title Tozawa versus Neville. Not as good as Monday Night Raw, but Neville was in all white. He missed the senton. Did Tozawa got as Neville got the knees up. Neville hits the red arrow, and again, is now the two-time Cruiserweight champion. Did anyone see this?
Nope.
No, we're still in the area where it's preoccupied.
Okay, so solid matchup, everybody.
God damn it, point bitch.
In the end, he screwed you. In the end. One thing that is for sure, random Elias sung two songs, got massive heat. That was a thing. In a really good match, could be up there for match of the night, the New Day versus the Usos. Anyone see this?
No.
Saw some of it.
Xavier Woods worked really, really hard. They had some Red Lantern attire.
Which Big E could not find shoes for.
He could not find shoes for. This was the topic for the conversation.
Everyone get red and black all over. We are all Red Lanterns. Big E insisted on wearing pink shoes with cupcakes.
I mean, he's a big dude. He can't find the right boots to probably fit comfortably, so you know.
Everyone else managed to find gear that fast.
Okay. Maybe he didn't like the. Maybe he got boots and he didn't like them.
Look, the custom gear costs us about $21,000. The last $1,000 we don't have, and that's for your shoes, Big. We don't have the time.
Budget cuts. It's WWE budget cuts. You got to wear the pink shoes.
Here, we're gonna get LED shoes for you next time.
Talk to Naomi. Get the hookup.
Good lord, that
she must be broke. I'm just going to say this right now. She must be broke or making a lot of dough.
Brooklyn is out of fiber optic right now.
Because it's every week she has brand new gear.
Mm-hmm.
And it all glows.
How many? I want to know how many unicorns died to make that coat.
Speaking of unicorns, they now have the New Day unicorn pops at FYE. You can make your own unicorn pop. Now, if we know what the unicorn's thing looks like and you get to make your own, you can figure that out. This was a really good match. It was started slow, but it got really good at the end. These two teams, you know, they work really well together. We had a submission tease by Woods, which was awesome. There was a spot where Big E was hanging on the ropes. They come down with a splash on Big E, hit a splash on Woods, got a two count. The alley ooze, which did not look safe, where Woods just got tossed over the rope and it almost looked like he hurt himself, but he was okay.
Yeah, he just kind of backslid off of an Uso.
Yeah, and landed hard. It did not look safe. Did not look safe. Big ending, big blind tag, double super kicks, double splash. So this is the second time tonight, and new. The Usos are the new SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions. I question why.
I have no idea.
My one guess is Breezango's the next in line for a title shot.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus, no.
Well, who else do you have? The Ascension?
AOP, the fucking call-up.
That's heel versus heel. That don't work.
Them niggas ain't going heel.
Authors of Pain are heels.
Usos are going to end up going face.
But they've spent so long going heel.
The fact is New Day's getting punished because Big E got caught taking a dump in somebody else's bathroom.
Flames forums. Throwing it out there.
On Twitter.
On the Twitter. Anyway, I thought this was a really good match. Then the first WTF moment of the night. KFC is the sponsor of this show.
Oh, God.
Shut the front door.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And you have this ad featuring Enzo, Big Show, Becky, Dolph Ziggler's in there because he was one of the original Colonel Sanders. You had Heath Slater in a chicken outfit. So this ad goes. Okay, this ad goes. And then what the hell's next? It's Shawn Michaels as Colonel Sanders. Everyone needs to go to @ShawnMichaels on the Twitter. He details his day. It is fantastic. But yeah, he can pull off Colonel Sanders. It's awesome.
The fuck?
I liked it. Everyone else went, huh, what? That's a thing?
WTF.
Sell out. Fucking sell out.
It's a payday.
Now we get to the main show. Now we get to the main show. The 4-hour spectacular. Because that was the first 2 hours. Let's buckle in, everyone. It was John Cena, Baron Corbin, with Where's Your Briefcase Chance?
Job, 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 job.
All right, let's, before we get to this. Did everyone see SmackDown?
I saw it.
Thoughts on that? On Baron Corbin's failed attempt, oh my God.
I will have to record that later.
This is why you wait until a match is completely done and they're beaten down before you actually go and stick your nose into shit.
Well, the match was over, but...
It's not like a worse for wear style match, though.
No, he took the super AA. He was done. He was down. He waited too long to get back to the ring, but he was down. But he was stupid. Who cares if John Cena's on the apron? He can't touch you. But you touched him. You slipped on your banana peel. And you got buried 6 feet under. No wonder The Undertaker was in town this weekend. He was digging the grave for Baron Corbin. Because you watched the match on the pay-per-view, Tim. He's buried, right?
Buried Corbin, not Baron Corbin. Why is he buried Corbin, Rock?
Because he doesn't know how to keep his fingers from typing.
He doesn't know how to keep his keyboard off the fingers.
Something like that, yes.
What are we talking about? Just in case people don't realize, he said some rude shit on Twitter and blocked people he shouldn't have.
That's what's going around, and yeah. Baron's learning. It's the hard way of trying to be the gimmick on the Twitters. And, yeah. But Vince really liked him, but apparently not so much because he's buried him 6 feet under. Because, let's face it, Omega, everyone kicks out of the AA. Everyone does. Jinder did.
Yeah, it's not a finish anymore. It's a setup.
Well, not tonight. 1 AA, right in the middle. John Cena wins.
Well, too bad for you.
Sorry, Jinder. Or, not Jinder, Baron.
Oh my god, you're getting your wrestlers mixed up.
Yes, I am. But yeah, okay. I will say the one nice spot from Corbin was the choke slam backbreaker. That was a nice spot. Everything else was just so-so. It was a wrestling match. Nothing special. Nothing really happened. John Cena is your winner. Anyone else have anything to add about this match? Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. All I wanted.
SmackDown Women's title was on the line. Naomi versus Natalya, Tim.
Oh, yeah. That's all.
Awesome. Insightful commentary from Tim Stein. How about
all
you?
Right. No. I'll be legitimate here. It was an absolutely good match. A lot of people are not going to be happy that Natty won the title. I'm not one of those people. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. It didn't feel rushed. I don't think they had too much or too little time. They got done what they needed to get done just, you know, with the amount of time that they were given. The one thing I was about to say to Rock on Skype, during the match, just as the match started getting underway, if Naomi starts selling an air quote injury, then expect a title change. And just as I was about to type that, she starts selling a knee injury.
Yeah, that's sort of how that happened. The blockbuster off the stairs was a nice spot by Naomi. I mean, this match all around was a pretty good match. This match did not feel rushed. I think the other women's match felt a little rushed early, but this match, they had some time. They were given like room to breathe, and it was early enough in the show to where they don't have to rush through everything. It's like, you guys can do what you want, get your stuff in. And you could tell they worked hard. They've been probably practicing in Florida or on the house shows and getting these spots done.
I should hope they practice that split spot.
Yeah.
That's not an impromptu thing. It's like, can we actually do this without, you know, cracking your pelvis?
Very factual statement.
Looked good. I liked that, and I liked the sharpshooter reversal into the turnbuckle.
Yeah, it was a nice spot. That really was a nice spot.
Well, you know, the match was able to showcase Natty's actual in-ring talent, and it also showed Naomi's improvement.
And when we were talking about this match, what, a month ago, Tim?
Yeah.
I said this was a key. This had to be a good showcase of Naomi, and Natty was the one to bring it out of her. And I thought, even in defeat, Natty made Naomi look good and solidified her in her position.
Well, that's the one thing I say about Natty. I have said about Natty, and I will continue to say about Natalya. She is capable of making anybody, practically, except Dusty Adonis, look good in the ring. And yeah, that was a shot to another Stampede Wrestling alumni. Good-natured shot, but nonetheless.
So there you go. Yeah, the split leg counter interruption was a really nice ending to the match as well. I think a lot of people were surprised. I was surprised. Natty's the champ now.
I genuinely didn't expect that title change.
Because the idea is they spent money on this belt, and they were going to market this belt. And,
yeah.
And I did some digging to back up what you were trying to bring up earlier, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be ready for Christmas. So
they'll take a sabbatical from that belt.
Right. That could play a factor in it, because they were trying to make the toys, the belts, whatever. And I don't think they can get them out in time. So it's like, we can put the belt, bring the belt back at some point and still market it. Because everything plays into marketing, folks. It's a thing.
You can thank George Lucas for that.
So, anything else you want to add about this matchup, Tim?
Not a whole hell of a lot, other than I was positive that they were putting the strap on Natalya tonight, and sure enough, they did. A lot of people were totally not following my reasoning for her getting the title, but everything that she's done, all the hard work she's put in, all the effort she's made in making everybody, every female wrestler that she's worked with on that roster look good, get over, get better, this is a reward for her.
Yes, it is. It really is a reward. And she has done a great job. She's gotten all the girls over. She's the reason Charlotte's a thing.
Well, I was going to add, you stole my thunder a little bit, but I was going to say she's the reason. You know, it's because she made Charlotte.
Without question, that takeover match they had made Charlotte into the person she is, because if they did not have a good match, Charlotte would not be in the position she's in today.
Now, let's explain when we say she made Charlotte. We're not saying that Charlotte was a shitty wrestler until Natalya came along. No, when one wrestler makes another wrestler, yeah, they make them look like gold, but they also allow that other wrestler to shine and show their talent is there, the skills are coming along, and they're going to be something. And it takes a special kind of wrestler to be able to do that.
Exactly.
And Natty is a special kind of a wrestler.
She is, and she may not be the best promo, they may not be the best heel or the best babyface.
Well, that's because she's a heart.
But she is very good in the ring. She's a great in-ring performer and can get the job done in any situation you ask of her.
Yeah, absolutely. So kudos and congratulations to my friend Natalya Neidhart on claiming the women's title. And I hope that this is not one of those interim short-lived title runs.
Because
she deserves to have it for a while.
How long would you give it to her for?
Oh, anything short of December, January would be a bit of a slap in the face, I think.
Would Survivor Series be okay, the next, you know, landmark pay-per-view they got?
What's that, the end of November?
Yeah, it's November.
That's right on the edge. We've got to have a rematch with Naomi, of course.
Which could happen as early as Tuesday.
That could happen as early as Tuesday, yeah. But, you know, they've hot-shotted these titles a lot, not just the women's titles, but all of them, all year long, except for the WWE Universal title is pretty much the only one, really, that hasn't been handed off like a hot potato all year. Let's just, like, calm down and let the champs carry the titles for a while.
I'm trying to go through the belts in my head. The next closest would be the Intercontinental title, and that... sort of, it's changed a couple times, but not as often as
the other
belts.
I feel like that's almost because they forget about that belt from time to time.
Yet, like I said last week, every SummerSlam comes, The Miz is basically holding the belt almost every year.
And this year he didn't even have to defend it.
This year he didn't even have to defend it.
Streak still intact.
Fuckers.
Oh, calm down, child.
No, it's like, what the what the fuck? First of all, the Intercontinental Champion, the title, as prestige as the history of the Intercontinental title has been, the champion doesn't even defend it. And he's not even on the main card. He's on the roster. What the fuck?
What was that statement? Main card roster? What was that?
He was supposed to be, like, Intercontinental Champion, supposed to defend it. He didn't even make it to the main card. He managed to do the pre-show. Granted...
So what?
I'm used to big pay-per-view, defend the title. That's how I feel. Defend all titles, major pay-per-views.
Yeah, Mike is going old school. If you're a champion, you should defend the title at all the big shows.
Not just SmackDown for stupid reasons.
No, okay, I'll give a counterpoint to that. Was Jason Jordan ready for the title match? Nope.
I didn't say, hold on, never said, not that nigga ain't ready yet.
But that,
I didn't even but that's say his, it like that.
But that's his program. He was feuding with Jason Jordan. So would you rather put a flop of a match between Miz and Jason Jordan on the main show?
Miz could do double fucking duty.
Against who?
Nigga, throw some battle royals and shit out there. It's been a while since we've had some shit like that.
Here it is. If you do that, people are going to bitch and complain, well, there was no lead up to this. What the fuck is this match happening for?
And
there's no story here.
And niggas bitched and complained about the main event.
Who complained about the main event?
Mike.
There you go.
I ain't bitch about the main event. That shit was fucking hilarious. We'll talk about that later.
But
that
no.
shit was good. That was good. That was good.
But you look at the program for the Intercontinental.
Shut up, Peanut.
Thank you. Thank you, Omega. Thank you.
Anyway.
The only one on this thing that would have gotten that, and you got it.
All right, we'll just move on now. Anyway, not even going to try to bring up points. Big Show versus Big Cass with Enzo in a shark cage. The memorable moment and the reason why it was on the pay-per-view itself. Because people say, oh my god, this match shouldn't be on the pay-per-view. is Enzo Amore.
Stealing Joey Ryan's gimmick.
How you doing?
Thank you.
He stripped down, oiled himself up, and got out of a shark cage. There were no dick flips. That's the only thing Joey Ryan is good for. And even then, that is the most ridiculous and stupidest thing in the world. And for people who enjoy it, your brain cells are dumber for thinking it's good.
I've seen
people wrestle blow-up dolls. It's not that dumb.
I would rather watch Perry Saturn wrestle Moppy.
Oh, speaking of the dick flip, Mega, speaking of the dick flip, Mick Foley, don't be doing the dick flip. You just got your hip replaced. Don't be doing the dick flip. That's a waste of money on getting your hip done. Just saying. Anyway, you had a point, Omega?
I was going to add I'd rather see Moppy versus Pepe.
Ooh, now that'd be a good match. A hobby horse versus a mop.
It'd have to be a pole match, but I don't know why you hold up on the pole.
Well, it would be the pole on a pole because they both need handles, right? Or poles.
Well, that's the storyline. They both lost their poles. There's only one. You put the pole on a pole. They have to get the pole.
Well, this is what I was saying. And that match would be the best match for people to watch in Poland.
At Flames
Forest. Just get to go step that one little bit further.
Goddamn straight. You know, that's the whole point of comedy is identifying the line and putting your toe over it.
You're talking to someone who is Polish, by the way.
Are you Polish?
I'm Polish.
Oh, are you offended?
Fuck no.
Well, there you go then. Rock's offended. He's not Polish.
I think he's offended by the level of humor going on more than anything.
I'm not offended by anything. Anyway, back to
We're trying to get this bit to go on longer than the next match we're talking about, which we've already done. So
yeah, I think we succeeded, Omega.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the bigs.
Yep. Here we go.
The story of the matchup was, you know, Big Show's broken hand. Because, you know, that's what we needed this matchup. And Big Cass got the win. Simple, straightforward. The match was fine. Enzo did his thing. People got a laugh. He got taken up. He ate a boot from Big Cass. Hopefully this is the end.
Please let it be the end.
I almost thought that they were going to pull the thing that they pulled the other time Big Show's hand was allegedly broken. And, he'd pull the thing off and smack him. How long ago was that? Did that happen? That was ages ago.
It's been a long, long time.
A long, 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 long time.
So anyway, yes. Also, to the people on the internet, because I've had some chats with people on the internet today, not every match can be on the main show. You can just consider the pre-show the main show because everything still happens on there. Should all title matches be on the main show? If appropriate, but guess what? Stipulation matches actually take precedent over a title match, especially when matches you've seen before. This is a first-time match with a stipulation. That's why it's on the show. But oh my god, something else should be on the pre-show. What would you have taken off this show and put on a pre-show? Nothing.
Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Why? It went 10 seconds.
It went 9 seconds by my count.
Okay, by your count, 9 seconds, this report has 10.
Okay, because I counted, and I was counting Mississippi's.
Okay.
Maybe. And the second that the referee slammed his hand down for the three, I stopped counting.
Okay. So anyway, Randy Orton versus Rusev. Rusev jumped Orton. The segment was about 5 minutes long. Randy recovers. He's like, give me a minute. Hits the RKO out of nowhere. Randy Orton's your winner. That was the thing.
Remember when Rusev was supposed to be like one of the next big contenders and... You know, he was actually doing really good. His promos were getting a lot better. He's still solid in the ring.
Then he lost to John Cena.
Well, that's everybody, but yeah.
When you think about it, after he lost...
It wasn't even that. It was WWE's complete lack of interest in even using him once he was drafted to SmackDown.
True.
Well, he was hurt when he first came over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was healed up. He took months to actually make an actual return.
Well, he was on what was the hockey tour. His team was playing in the playoffs. He went on a hockey tour.
Yeah, that's a great excuse for that.
Well, he did, actually. I'm not fully healed yet. Oh, I have a twinge. My shoulder. I can't go yet. Need more time. Anyway, Randy Orton picked up the win. Now to a really good match. Raw Women's Title, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks.
And you and I were of somewhat kind of two different schools of thought for the first couple minutes of this match.
We were, because I felt it was really rushed. Because I figured it felt like they got to a spot where they would be in 13 minutes in at 6 minute point. That's the way I
and
felt. That's the way I felt.
That's the way you felt. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they're just really going all out high energy, because that's what it felt to me. They were just giving us, instead of a slow buildup, it was, all the time, all in your face. And yeah, sure, you want to tell a story in a ring, but it doesn't always have to be a slow build, or a simmer. It could be just like, you know, bam, and you're off to the races. This is what it felt like to me. What do you think, Omega?
It kind of did. I will admit I got preoccupied during this match, so I didn't see all of it. Apparently, I missed a blown spot during the match.
That was
Oh, there's a better match on the card that had a lot more blown spots. We'll get there.
But no, like, this was, what I saw of it, it's okay. Like, wasn't blown away by the match or anything. Just, yeah. Like, it felt like what it ended up being, which was a match that we kind of hammered together a week ago.
Which is essentially what happened, exactly, yeah. What do you think, Mike? Did this feel like they were rushing through the opening, or does this feel like they were just giving you high energy right off the bat?
A little bit of both. I honestly think it was a little bit of both. It was like, hey, let's do this, but hey, make it hot.
Okay. Having put thrown together two people who haven't had a chance to start a program because of injury or a no-show, you're going to, the first part of your match is going to be a little bit speed metal. Really, it is.
See, that's not what they came out firing, which was good. I thought it was just they came to the false finishes part too soon. It's more what I was trying to go for. It's like they got there too early.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm just trying to provide a little extra insight. That's all.
But to say they don't have chemistry, they just fought, what, 6 weeks ago?
Oh, so, I never said anything about not having chemistry. You got to remember, at the same time, it's been 6 weeks since they were last in the ring on TV, on a regular show.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, boom. Oh, okay. We haven't had that much time to get into a rhythm, even though we've wrestled. It's been 6 weeks. There's going to be a little rust happening there. Getting into the rhythm is still going to take a bit of time. And this is, you know, like they finally got into the rhythm about halfway through the match. There was a beautiful flow that came about. But I didn't think, you know, like personally speaking, I didn't feel like it was rushed at the beginning. I just felt like they were trying to find that rhythm. So they were giving us high energy.
Possibly. But that's where we disagree on it. But
yeah,
I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good. Confused that Sasha walked out champion. But again, at this point on the show, it is what it is. I'm glad I'm surprised, but at the same time, it's like, because they've been really pushing Alexa as the face of the brand, of the women's division. So it's like,
yeah, it's almost as if they ran a big promo before this about, you know, with Alexa.
No,
like,
mercy.
It's the highlight for the next pay per view, and
it was exactly right before this match.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Here's our big star.
Right.
Watch or lose.
Right in the middle. Anyway. She taps out in the middle of the ring. So that was that. But it was an enjoyable match. I thought so, at least.
Now, Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks. Yeah, it was an enjoyable match.
Now that she's the focus of No Mercy coming up in a few weeks.
Oh, I'm laughing for a totally different reason. I've got a special sound notification when when I get an email on my phone, and it's a spring is what the notification sound is. So it goes, you know, boing. It went off just as I was saying, Sasha, Alexa, same ring. Yeah, that's a winner. Spring. So it was just timing.
Send us the breakdown.
Oh, is that what you're doing? Okay, everybody.
I did type the word.
I'm busy doing other things. I wasn't looking at Skype.
Jesus.
That said,
professionalism right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back right after
this. Why don't you shut up and I'll do it? Everybody listening to a SummerSlam edition of WTR Sunday Night. Don't go anywhere. Tell everybody that we're on the air talking about SummerSlam. We'll be back in just a bit. Go get yourselves a cold one.
It's my destiny to be bigger, yeah, I got fight. And all my visions are sitting high on my own gold throne. Never listen to criticism, I built my own. From the bottom, I got myself in my own zone. Never stopping, I made it, and no, I ain't gone home.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Creating greatness. One episode at a time. One episode at a time.
All right. So let's all go through the beer that Rob has had to drink today.
On September 9th, we surpassed some of the greatest of all time.
Who are you?
tuning to the 500th episode of Your Only Excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio, September 9th, midnight-ish Eastern Time only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I know I have a problem, and I'm willing to accept it.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Of course, we started about an hour and 10 minutes late this evening from our normal time of 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, because there was a pay-per-view. It was called SummerSlam.
The biggest party in the summer of 6 hours spectacular because reasons.
Because SummerSlam.
Because SummerSlam.
Because the chicken company's paying for it.
Summer got slammed.
So up next,
go ahead. I was telling my dad about the show tonight, and he routinely kept referring to it as Summerfest.
Thank you, Omega's dad.
Well, that happened Tuesday night. It was on twitch.tv/rockradioshow.
And it happens whenever Mike Adamly announces it.
No, Jeremy Piven.
Sure Adamly said it once too.
No, it was it's the famous Jeremy Piven screw up.
Yeah, no, I remember Jeremy Piven, but I thought Adamly said it as well.
No, he's Jeff Harvey.
No, I thought Adamly did make that mistake, too.
Yep, pretty positive. Quick, to the Googles.
Don't really care. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt is the next matchup on this show.
Okay, you've got to play that clip. Tim was right, because I told you guys last week we were going to see the demon. Oh, no, it's too soon. I want to see the demon. Hey, look, we're going to get the demon.
It was too soon. Finn Balor admitted in an interview, which is why we were talking about it being too soon, we were listening to Finn Balor. I'm sorry for listening to Finn, not you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I made the point before. This is exactly how I called it. They just advanced the timetable.
By like a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Month or two, yeah. So the demon's back.
Yeah, the only problem I had with the demon being on, and yeah, sure, maybe it was too soon. Fine, I'll not disagree with you on that one. But I like when the demon comes out. It's just old school theatrics. It's a throwback, and it's enjoyable, and it's fun. And it's been a while since we've seen the demon last. It was just about time. I kind of wish that it wasn't announced.
No,
and it was given to us tonight as a surprise.
The way they did it on Monday Night Raw with Finn Balor teasing that he has his demons too should have been it. But no,
yeah.
15 minutes later, here's a big fancy graphic. It says, "The Demon, Finn Balor returns."
God, your graphics department's fast.
It's like you can read his mind or something. The whole idea with the, the not blood, from Monday night.
The viscous, corrosive red fluid, or acidic red fluid.
Acidic red fluid, yeah.
It was a ripoff from the movie Carrie, Pig's Blood for a Pig.
Yeah, let's go with that.
In the decrepit bucket that was poured the
leftover from the Godwin days.
The only thing missing was John Travolta.
Because they could not say blood. Why? Who the hell knows? We all know what it was.
Just going to make a really, really quick announcement here. Everybody, if you're still listening on your computers after having tried TuneIn, you can go back to TuneIn anytime you want. There was an issue. It has been rectified.
I blame Tim.
Even though it's Rock's fault.
I blame Tim.
Even though it's Rock's fault.
I blame Tim.
Rock's fault.
Sort of your fault.
Not my fault at all. No, I'm sorry. I'm not the one who forgot, even though that you turned it on for streaming really quickly to make sure that it's working on my new phone. That's irrelevant. You're the one operating the goddamn thing. You're the one who forgot to switch it after it crashed.
Yeah, because I switched it and it crashed. Anyway.
Atta girl. Admit your mistakes.
Still your fault. Anyway.
It's your fault.
Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt took to the ring. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, they worked really hard. This was better than Monday Night. And the story of the basic story of the match, they worked really hard. But the story was the Demon King's magic was more powerful than Bray Wyatt's magic.
Yeah, well, Bray did the upside down walk and everything, and it didn't faze the demon.
No, it didn't. He tried. He tried everything he could.
Matter of fact, Bray Wyatt got freaked out by the demon.
Like, he did this little spider thing. It's like, oh, you don't like... Oh. Well, crap.
That didn't freak you out? Okay, I'm freaked out that you're not freaked out.
Yeah.
Normally, I go upside down, and people think it's, like, all scary.
Worked early. But later, it sort of didn't have its work powers. But I thought this was a really fine match. They both worked hard. Finn picked up the win, which he should have, because it's a demon.
Mm-hmm. It's a better match, but it's made specifically just to reintroduce the demon.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Tim wants it to come out more often. I think it should only come out 2, maybe 3 times a year.
And here I'm saying that
WrestleMania.
It should come out for all 4 major pay-per-views and maybe one or possibly at the most, depending on circumstances, 2 Raw pay-per-views. But demons should be at all the big 4.
No.
I say yes.
I say Hell in the Cell.
I say
if you come to expect it at the same time every single year, it doesn't exactly have the impact. I think it should come up when it's appropriate storyline-wise for it to come up. And it shouldn't be forced in just because, hey, SummerSlam's coming up. Let's jury rig this into it, which is what they did with this one.
You know, it coming to expect it every year is a horrible thing. Undertaker streak.
But at the same point, every year at WrestleMania, he should do it. That's a
well, Mania, yes. Well, Mania, you have an inbuilt excuse. It's fucking WrestleMania. Of course, he's going to go all out.
Which counters Tim's streak point because you're building it to that one event every year. But any other time, it should be the demon is brought out of him. He needs to come out, not just thrown in there like he was tonight because they rushed the feud because reasons.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing that it should be a build-up. Yeah, absolutely. So from here on in, build it up. Instead of bringing it out for all big 4 pay-per-views, give it a rotation instead of still do it that many times. But rotate it around. So, like, next year at SummerSlam, you're not going to see the demon, but he's at No Mercy.
I think it should only come out when he's either going after the title, defending it, or if he's facing someone that he hasn't been able to beat otherwise. And, like, if he was to go up against, you know, like a Brock Lesnar, you know, without even being for the title and can't do it, you know, normally just gets his ass handed to him, then yes, rematch, demon time. It should be when it's appropriate for the challenge. It shouldn't be like it was tonight where it was, okay, we just kind of need to push the demon out there because it's SummerSlam, so let's get this out really quick. You know, and it shouldn't be something like, well, it's that time of year. It's time for the demon to come out.
Well, since you think that, since you brought that up, and I honestly think that you are correct about that, and type of match, and honestly, if I could, and who knows, I would like to see him versus Kane.
Well, that's too bad, because Kane is going into politics, and he's trying to become the mayor.
Already
the demon versus
that.
The mayor.
I already know that, but what I'm saying is, it would have been something good to watch.
About 10 years ago.
On Tuesday night, the demon faces Kane. Right here on WTR Sims. Or not. I don't know. I'm not booking.
No. Anyway.
No.
No. Not worth my time. Anyway.
The timing was appropriate, yes. Like, I would love to see a match where it was, you know, Kane, the devil's favorite demon, versus the demon king, Finn Balor. Let Finn go over, just rip the mask and hair off, and just walk out with it. Like, yeah, you're not a fucking demon anymore.
But going back to this match, Bray was the right guy for the demon to come out with if they let the story build to the point.
Yeah, it needed more than a week. This needed to wait for a rematch. But no, it's SummerSlam. Let's rush it.
Well, we got the rematch because it happened on Monday. So I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Should have beat him at SummerSlam clean and then kept poking the bear week after week after week to get to No Mercy, and you bring out the demon or whatever comes up after that.
If you're going to run with a theme for a pay-per-view for the demon, you'd think it'd be No Mercy.
You would think. But, you know, the Demon King came out, got his victory tonight. Anything else anyone wants to add to this one?
I liked it. It was a good match. I'll give it an 85, Dick.
The Raw Tag Team titles were on the line next. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Dean and Seth Rollins. Omega, Cesaro is your hero?
Uh-huh.
Why is he your hero?
H-Ball.
Oh, God.
It's fucking great. It's a perfect heel move you don't really see anymore. You know, we're past the days of someone, you know, the $1 million man kicking the ball from the kid's hands, or someone ripping up an autograph book while they're walking down the aisle. Cesaro's, nope, fuck this shit. Jump the rail, grab the ball, rip it up. You watch our fucking match. You don't play the goddamn balls.
So officially,
Hashtag blame Rob.
To the beach ball. Officially.
Yeah, who had the beach ball in fantasy? You lost so many points.
I think they named the beach ball Austin Aries. Anyway, so minus 50.
Shut up!
So minus 50 on that one? We all agree, minus 50 for the Austin Aries
if you lose a championship, you lose big points. If you lose a job, I thought you should lose way more.
How many points should losing a job be?
That'd be at least 50?
I say about 75.
Yeah, that's actually a more fair number.
All right. 75 points for lost job. Okay, Tim. Anyway.
No. Nice try.
Hey, he made up the rules to begin with. He can make them however he wants.
We can change his last minute, totally.
No.
Anyway, what do you think of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins taking on Cesaro and Sheamus, Omega?
I like the match. I like the match. I like the double team mechanics. Everyone knows each other really well. Cesaro and Sheamus are a pair of dorks. What you'd like me to do. I'd like you to blow me. Don't repeat myself again. Who turned Siri on?
Not even going to ask what. Okay.
Seriously.
Tim's been playing with his phone.
Oh, God.
Continue, Omega.
Can I continue?
Yes, go ahead.
So Cesaro and Sheamus are a bunch of dorks. They make Dragon Ball Z poses when they come out to the ring. Mm-hmm. Seth and Dean still work really freaking well together. I really like this. I loved the progression they had. You know, maybe dragged a little bit. Like, no, I'm not going to bump your fist. No, I'm still not. So we're going to punch each other for a while. There's an actual progression here. It's almost like it really didn't feel like two brothers who had a big falling out and are struggling to get those old issues, you know, past, get them water under the bridge before they could, you know, actually trust each other again. I mean, there's a lot to that worked really well for me, you know, and it's a quick culmination to that. But then again, it's the goddamn Shield. Like, if any two could reunite real quick in order to win a title their first time back, I would expect them to.
We learned in this matchup, you can replace Roman Reigns with a turnbuckle.
Turnbuckle's more right. Charismatic.
Turnbuckle yes. is more charismatic.
They did Roman it right, Reigns. Honestly.
Yeah, the build-up was great, and it worked well in this matchup. They even came out in the same colors, sort of.
Yeah. Well,
Dean had he wore the hoodie with the black and red. they matched.
Seth thought he was joining the New Day tonight.
They must get their gear done in the same place.
I don't know what it was. It's like everyone really liked red and black tonight.
He looked like the Titanium, the Quantum Ranger.
Because if because if you remember back a couple of years ago when they were all white, Seth was all white too. So they must go all the same places.
Okay, look, red is cheap this month, so you all get red.
You have a lot of red left over from something.
Except not enough for Biggie's boots.
The finish was great. The springboard, Hurricanrana into Dean and Sheamus and the super kicks and Dirty Deed. The finish was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think, Tim?
Oh, I love this match. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, you're right. You know, like the whole tease leading up to the reuniting was absolutely fantastic. They played it out perfectly on Raw last Monday night leading into tonight's matchup. And they still have the chemistry that they had when they were the Shield originally. It was a very, very fun match. And yeah, let's go out and grab the beach ball and piss off fans even more to make them stop cheering us a little bit too much. Awesome!
Except more people cheered it.
Yeah, it got more cheers. That's the problem.
It was like this. Because you don't see it. Everyone thought it was awesome because that's just something you don't do anymore.
Of course, wrestlers going out to interact with the crowd like that was a regular event during the territories days. Case in point, guy who hosts Hockey Night in Canada, Ron McLean, was a great big huge Stampede Wrestling fan when he was a kid. He showed up at Stampede Wrestling and asked for an autograph from Archie the Stomper Goldie, and Archie Goldie grabbed his autograph book and ripped it up in front of him. Now, the only problem with that is the kid had about 150 million autographs in there. Other than that, great heel move. It's just not something that happens anymore.
So there you go. Your new Raw Tag Team Champions are Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Up next, United States title is on the line. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens with special guest referee Shane McMahon, including customized referee shirt. If you're having issues with sound and buffering, get better internet. Thank you. Moving on to the match.
Fix the bit rate. The
bit rate is fine.
Yeah, what is it?
It's perfect.
What is it?
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's not perfect if it's causing other people's computers to buffer.
If they're
let's put it this way. Is it the frame rate that we've been using forever?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the one that I've been complaining about forever because it's set too high because he's trying for crystal clear audio.
Who wouldn't want good audio? Anyway, moving on to the match.
Good audio is great. Studio quality isn't necessary.
Tell that to my $150 microphone.
It's the internet.
Oh, if you want to see what he's doing with the internet. Anyway.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. Let's
bring up my credit card debt now.
Oh, yeah. No, I read all about your credit card debt. You shouldn't get into debt with your credit card. That's a dangerous thing. You're going to be paying a lot of money just in the interest rates.
No. We're going to get a huge chunk of that knocked off real quick.
No, I was about to say that you're going to start looking like a federal government pretty soon.
Ba-dum-bum, Ching Wrestling.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
U.S. title match, Omega.
I loved how many false finishes went on here. It's like they made Shane work. I like the match. Of course, it's AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. Like, okay, you've got a special ref gimmick, which makes it a little bit harder to go all out, but I still like what they did. You know, I'm a fan, and yeah, I'm kind of a fan of having Shane in there, considering it's, you know, they built it up that way too, where this is someone who's had issue with both of these guys in the past. So there's the what if factor. Is tonight the night Shane McMahon goes heel? I don't know. You know, and I liked wondering that through the match. You know, that worked for me. It's an interesting dynamic. Like, I hope this is kind of the end of this feud just because, you know, we've been passing around that belt a little bit too much. But
it's going to be the end of the feud because it's now moving Owens and Shane O'Mac that direction. AJ's leaving the story. He'll go fight Rusev.
Because that's a credible contender now.
Or Orton. I'm looking at the SmackDown people. Orton. There you go.
That one, face.
Orton Styles, Rusev, and a triple threat. I don't know. Throw Corbin in there. There's four.
Everyone who lost shamefully tonight.
Because Cena's going to Raw. Can't do Cena Styles.
Yeah.
What was cool is Shane McMahon has his own custom referee shirt. But he had ones made for his kids who were sitting in the front row. That's a cool moment. Anyway, the match was really good. This was the best matchup they've had in their trilogy, or how many ever matches they've had. This is the match we all expected. Shane played his role perfectly. It had some false finishes. They were all very believable, including the pop-up powerbomb for the three count with the foot on a rope. Everything worked the way it should. Story was told. AJ kept his belt. What'd you think, Mike?
I liked it. Worth it. Deserved it. It was a well-earned fought battle, you know, and big ups. Just like you said, big ups, Shane McMahon, of course. The motherfucker can take a lot of bumps. Like it. Good false finishes. Couple of scares, not gonna lie. But I thought that AJ Styles really like kicked Kevin in the face where he bled again, and I was like, oh god, this is NXT all over again. So, no, thank God for that. But it was good.
What do you think, Tim?
This match I was looking forward to enthusiastically and with trepidation at the same time. I was worried Shane as special guest referee might be too much of a distraction. At times, it felt like it, but it wasn't so overwhelming as I was afraid it might be. It was just small moments where he was too much of a distraction, but I understood that they did that so they can get the program between Shane and KO, you know, off the schneid and get that rolling. Overall, great match. It went, what, 12 minutes, Rock?
I think I'm a little bit longer than that. I'll look up the time here in a second.
This was the match that I said, give these two guys. No, that was shit. That was Bray Finn.
Bray Finn, you wanted 40 minutes at a WrestleMania.
You could give him 40 minutes, including entrance at WrestleMania, and it would be great. But no, Kevin Owens and AJ, it delivered. It was entertaining. It was fun. The outcome, I don't know if that outcome was ever really in any kind of doubt or anything, but
it went 17-20.
Okay. I could watch an AJ Styles, Kevin Owens match at pay-per-views without any special gimmicks introduced, like, you know, Shane is a special referee. Just give me these two guys kicking the shit out of each other for a 30-minute match. I'd be happy. I don't care how many times they've wrestled on TV. I like these guys working together that much.
So there you go.
Yeah.
By the way,
tonight was awesome.
Go back. Everyone needs to go back and watch this matchup for one reason. Watch Shane McMahon's hands the entire time. They keep moving and moving and moving. And it's like, okay, I'm doing this and this and this with my hands moving them all around. He goes over to each guy. So are you okay? Are you okay? Do you need water? Are you good? Can I get you anything else? You want an appetizer? It's like a maitre d' out there.
An appetizer?
Appetizer.
You said appetizer. You botched, which is something else that I wanted to bring up with this match, even though it was really entertaining. There were a lot of botches in this match, a lot of missed spots and a lot of goof ups that for the person who is not trained or accustomed to look for this type of thing, is going to get overlooked and not noticed because both AJ and Kevin were so on the gut. This is how good these guys are. They were both on the ball enough to cover up and move on and do something improvisational, and they didn't try to redo the spot like we used to bitch about with the women's division. They didn't try to reset the spot. They improvised a different spot on the spot. Here's spot. And it just made it for an even better match for somebody, you know, like you pay attention to things like when somebody screws up, even if it's minor, it's going to jump out at you. And the screw-ups that they did, they jumped out at me. And I'm guaranteeing that you guys probably didn't catch all the ones that I caught. But the cover-up was fantastic by these guys.
AJ Styles is still your United States champion.
Yay!
Up next, WWE Championship, Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura. It's a shame Shinsuke is not over with this crowd.
God.
They don't.
Could you guys in Brooklyn smarten up and appreciate Shinsuke for the artist that he is? I mean, come on.
they were silent. They did not get up once.
Oh, Christ, were they hot for Shinsuke.
Singing his damn song after the music ended.
Yeah. they were hot for Shinsuke like Van Halen was hot for Teacher.
Then Jinder came out. And you
were nobody got that one. Nobody
I know got I that got that reference. I'm all just right. Moving on. Jinder then blinded you with his red entrance because it's blinding. It really is. It's really blinding. We had a 3MB chant. Match was decent.
It was good. It wasn't special or anything like that. It started off great with a great series of chain wrestling. And this is something that I pointed out to you on Skype while we were watching it. I was pleased with the way they started this match. They didn't try to do crazy shit right out of the gate. They built up to it the way that we talk about. You got to build up to this, that, and the other thing. They did a textbook, and it was good. The match was solid. Jinder did not look bad. He put out a really good effort for 99% of the match.
But the match built to nothing.
Screw job type finish, sucky finish. Call it the way you want.
Okay,
it left it.
I'll call it copy fucking paste of every goddamn match he has. It's boring, it's uncreative, and it makes him look fucking pathetic.
And here's the thing, it's not his fault, it's creative's fault, because he's, you know, like, this is how they're getting him over as the cowardly heel champion.
But that requires you to figure out other tricks besides have two midgets run up the apron for you.
Except when they're told this is how you're going to do it.
I don't think they're told that. I think they were given one set of instructions the first night they were working there, and no one's given them any other instructions to do. So they just keep doing it. I think someone's been handing them the same run sheet every night.
Sorry about that. We ran out of ink.
Yeah, it went into red pleather tonight.
The pencil broke.
But yeah, it's not against Jinder. Jinder was okay. Shinsuke was fine. But the match didn't take you to any point where it's like, oh my god, the finish was hot, and oh my god, the heat is so strong because this match was so great. And it just, no, the guys came in the ring, they got kicked in the face. Oh, he hit the Colossus. Crappy version of it, and got the win. So anticlimactic, so flat. There was no reaction from the crowd other than, okay, what? That happened? Oh.
I think the crowd's just numb to it at this point.
And that's not you want. You don't want that.
You've got an excellent point. They need to find a different way of getting him the, stealing the win.
Here's the thing. Stealing the win is fine. If you want them to come in, those dudes to come in and cause the heat and get the, cause the finish to be screwy or whatever, fine. But there has not been a match in his series of matches, because that's their favorite phrase, where they've built his match to a point where the babyface is really hot and really on fire and is about to pick up a win. They're going for the shitty finish without delivering the heat, the big cheers for the crowd to really get them pissed off. It's just, they don't care. And that's the problem. It's not the finish. It's the match itself doesn't get you to the point where you're on the edge of your seat waiting for, like, the baby face for Shinsuke Nakamura to hit the Kinshasa, and then they run in and cause the screwy finish.
Yeah, like, I would be okay. Like, I mean, that's one of the things, but it's like, we've yet to see someone kick out of that Colossus after the interference from the Singh brothers. So it's, you don't even get a continuation. That's what I expected. It's like, okay, that seems like it happened too early in the match. What? Oh, three?
Because the match was 11 minutes. The match was 11 minutes.
Yeah. WWE Championship match, 11 minutes. Good fucking job. I mean, it's not even that. Like, yeah, the matches don't really build to those moments. But again, yeah, it's the same fucking thing every single time. You've got two guys on the outside. And I don't see them distracting the ref while Jinder's tapping out. I don't see them distracting the ref when, someone hits their finish and has an obvious three count. They've done that. They've done a little bit of that in the past, but lately, like the last month, a couple months maybe, they've basically been doing the same. Jump up on the apron, distract the guy in the match, Colossus, 1, 2, 3.
You want to know the best match he had? Was when the two dudes weren't there. It was Jinder versus Orton on SmackDown. In the match, we were like, why are they doing this again? It was a grudge match, and Randy went over.
Yeah.
That was the best match they had.
I mean, like, have one of them just, you got two of them there. Have one distract the ref, the other one throws a weapon into the ring.
The problem or one of them distracts the ref, the other one pulls down the ropes just as the opponent is going to bounce off of him. So he goes over top.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The problem with it is that gender, I hate to say it, but the nigga only got only five moves. The sixth move is.
Does he have five moves?
Honestly, I don't even know.
No, because here's the thing, and this is what it hinges on. For 7 years, he had no offense. Now he's
none.
Now we are supposed to buy everything he does, and that's the problem. You don't buy it, even though he's winning the way he's winning, and he's been in these matches where he's improving.
Well, see, back then he was Krillin. Now he's fucking Goku saying God. It's the fact that
only I get that reference.
Yes. And that's why I did that. But it's like he went from just being 3MB to just like eating his Wheaties and taking his vitamins and saying his prayers. And it's like, all right, so if you're going to do a powerhouse, then just stick to being powerhouse. But dude, do something else. Don't get me wrong. Love the whole Jinder Mahal gimmick. Trust me, I don't hinder the gender. But for being the modern day Maharaja, let's see what else you got rather than call on your friends and random power slams and kicks and punches and stuff. I mean, hey, ain't nothing wrong with a little 80s wrestling, but yeah.
So Jinder Mahal is your champion. This game, Nakamura was pinned clean in the middle of the ring by Jinder Mahal. That's where we are in 2017, everybody.
No rematch.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't because
he lost 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
They were in the ring. He attacked them.
Yeah.
Why does he deserve another match? He doesn't, because he went after them. He screwed up.
And he's the challenger, not the champion.
That's his fault. It's a weak finish. Anyway, can we move on to something that was really, 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 really fun?
Yes.
The main event. Universal title.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman. Oh my God, this was a fun, 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 fun match.
You forgot one more competitor.
Who?
The chair.
Oh, we'll get this to the chair.
Yeah, this was not a match. This was carnage.
And it was excellent.
Slaughter.
This was a bad day to be made of particle board.
Yeah. So,
but goddamn, they made Braun look good.
So we had early teases of Brock and Braun, which was fantastic because you heard the crowd build right up to it. It's like, oh, we want to see them fight. We want to see them fight. So they just, it's on all out brawl. Everyone's brawling with each other. Roman spears Lesnar through the barricade, which he's perfected that spot so perfectly because they do it all the time, but still works. Braun, and then if you want to see a man make Brock Lesnar small, it's Braun Strowman. He lifts up Brock Lesnar, puts him on his shoulder. Brock is trying to get out like he's a baby. His legs are flailing everywhere. It's like, let me down, let me down. So he put him through a table. Then, as Mike pointed out, the chair was involved. Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns were fighting, and Braun went, here's a chair. Smack.
Out of nowhere, office chair.
Boom. I'm sorry, that was just like...
Oh, that was great.
It was a callback to, what, the match a few weeks ago? Where the chair was involved? Yeah. It was a couple weeks ago. It was Brock and, not Brock, Braun and Roman. They used the chair spot. Then Braun's like, all right, here's Brock. Here, Brock. Gonna put you through another announce table. And then here's the hundreds of pound table, according to the commentary.
That's going to bounce as soon as we flip it.
it's 100 plus pounds, hundreds of pounds. Dumped over on Brock Lesnar. He's destroyed. He gets stretched out by this table that weighs hundreds and hundreds of pounds.
Now, to be fair, Corey Graves is weighing it after you set the announcers next to it.
So, yeah, if the announcers are sitting on the table, it's 600 pounds. But
it's a 40-pound piece of MDF. Three pieces of MDF. Four pieces of MDF.
Is it three or is it four?
The three sides and the tabletop. 40 pounds total.
Hundreds of pounds tipped over on the Brock Lesnar.
Did I break kayfabe?
What's kayfabe? Anyway. What's that?
X-nay.
So the crowd then went, nah, 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 hey, goodbye.
To Brock Lesnar.
To Brock Lesnar. Was that kayfabe enough for you, Tim?
What's kayfabe?
Exactly. Then Braun started using the steps. Then Braun is bleeding from said steps because they got chucked at him by Roman Reigns. He caught him with the side of the step, the point of the step, right in the ear.
And it cut him good.
Oh, yeah.
Braun with the steps. It looked like a Three Stooges sketch where Curly had gone Hulk. Mm-hmm. Instead of just a ladder swinging around on accident. No, just beat the shit out of both of you right now. Back and forth, back and forth.
So Tim then asked me a question. So what was the question, Tim?
Oh, shit. What was the question? Oh, how long before Brock returns?
I said like 12 minutes.
And then he shows up in 5 minutes or sooner.
It was like 2 minutes later. He showed up. Because I figured, okay, they're going to let them wrestle. Because I figured it's SummerSlam, they're going over. So I was like, okay, we got like 15, 20 more minutes of this match. Nope. He comes back after a couple minutes. There was a really awful spear on the Brock. Like, Brock tried to take the spear, but like, he never, it's like it was, I don't know. It just hit him hard and just, he just sort of fell down. Didn't really sell it. But everything about this was great. Braun was so over Omega.
Oh my God. How, I don't know why they think they run him as a heel. He's not.
No, he's the guy everyone loves seeing destroy things. He's the biggest babyface they have.
The thing, this is why Lesnar was so fucking over before. And now Braun is more over than that.
Strong.
Because he's just so good at killing things. He's not even getting the, like, Goldberg comparisons. Well, because he's lost matches, but, like, just, dude's a freight train.
But not only that, not only is he doing now what Lesnar did when Lesnar first came back, he has proven tonight more than any other match he's had that he's actually got some skills for a big guy like that, for a freight train.
See, I honestly have to like look back at like, because I remember back when we heard reports of like, well, they want, you know, Vince really wants to push Strowman hard because, you know, he's got more in him than we've seen just, you know, as a Wyatt family member. And like, you're kidding. Now, this is just Vince's obsession with big sweaty men again. Like, it's like,
nope.
No.
Not just.
He act. The old coot might still know a couple things.
Because the one thing Vince knows is how to build a big destructive force. And over time, Braun has learned, working with some people, on how to be that. And 2 years ago, this Braun Strowman, if he was in this position, wouldn't have worked. But where he is now, works. Because it's been a slow progression to the point where he's at. And that's why he's over the way he is. And people want to see it. I know I want to see Brock and Braun as a singles match.
More so after tonight.
From last Monday... till now, it's the match I want to see. Because you could just see the chemistry is going to be there. It's not going to be long. But for 10 minutes, they're going to beat the crap out of each other.
And when you see Braun Strowman picking up Brock and literally throwing him through the air into the corner of the ring, wow. Just holy shit.
Again, he makes him look so small. And Brock is not small.
No.
Also, this is a public service announcement for Roman Reigns. Learn a new move other than the Superman
punch.
Here, Superman punch to the left, Superman punch to the right.
Even Cole sounded bored of announcing Superman punch. And
another Superman punch.
Oh yeah. My God, he sort of lifted me up in the air. Oh my God, I'm going to throw my fist at him. Superman punch. Need a new move, Roman. You need a new move. Everyone knows it. Yet still gets hit with it. Because it's the only move he knows how to do. But in the end, Roman goes for the spear after 5,000 Superman punches to Brock Lesnar. Brock says, nope. F5, 1, 2, 3. Brock Lesnar is still your Universal Champion. This main event was so, so much fun.
I love how they just utterly destroyed everything in the first 3 minutes. It's like, get all this huge shit out of the way now. Go ahead and bust it through the barricade. We'll go ahead and break a few tables. Like, just all cylinders right from the get-go. Which, you can do that to hide a few weaknesses. You know, you had moments where it broke down to a one-on-one as a result. And you know, that kept the pace well. Yeah, it was just, it's a hell of a lot of fun. Just, this is one of those This is one of those car wreck matches that typically don't go on too long, but I was enjoying it while it was crashing into things.
And they did it right. They got Lesnar out of there for a little bit and let Joe and Roman wrestle a little bit. You slowed it down, bring it back up, got a lot of false finishes towards the end. Yeah.
Yeah, and Lesnar still looks, you know,
Lesnar
even with him.
Had to go.
Yeah. Well, you got him out of, well, you get him out of the match for a little bit and have him come back. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, not only was that good to, you know, get, you know, let some of the other guys have time, but it still makes him look like an unkillable machine. You put him through two tables and then dump a 1,000-pound announce table on him. Dude comes back in 4 minutes and walks it off.
Cause he's Brock Lesnar.
Bork.
It's one of those. Another one only I get. Like this is one of those perfect things where, yeah, Braun looked amazing in this match, and you know, even at the expense of Lesnar taking all those hits, and Lesnar still looked undestroyable. Like if anything, this just exposed a lot of weakness in Roman.
Yeah. Yes, it did. So there you go. That is SummerSlam in a nutshell. Last week, we had mentioned we have a prize.
We've got a prize. We got a who wins?
From the fine folks at Warner Brothers, Pure Country, Pure Heart, featuring the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, a.k.a. Colonel Sanders. We have a prize.
Shawn Sanders? Colonel Michaels?
At least other people on Twitter were. People on Twitter were a lot more creative than that. Thank you very much.
Give me a sec, okay? I came up with that after 3 seconds. Shut up.
So did they.
No, it took him longer. 10 seconds.
So the winner of Pure Country, Pure Heart is Chris Pierce. Chris Pierce, get in touch, and you can win the copy, the digital copy of Pure Country, Pure Heart, featuring the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. He went 9-4.
Congratulations, Chris Pierce.
He even would have had the tiebreaker correct, as he had Roman Reigns getting pinned. In no particular order, Tim, you went 4-9. Omega went 5-8. Mike went 5-7. Random Thing Picker went 6-7.
Random Thing Picker beat me? God damn it.
Did he actually change my pick to Balor? Because I told the intern that twice.
No, he did not.
Fuck off.
So that makes you 6-7. I remember you saying it. I changed it now.
Thank you.
We will allow it.
So, Tim, who'd you pick in the Hardys-Jordan match? Anyway.
Oh, shut up.
So, backstory on that. He sends me the pick at 7 o'clock. He hadn't seen the show, so he picked the match. I was like, "Is that you sure you want that?"
Okay. I just got home, and it was like 20 after the top of the hour.
Anyway, I went 6-7, so did Lindsay, so did the video game. The 8-Ball went 2-11. Subway went 4-9. Rob went 9-4. Imagine that. Jabber went 7-6. Well, one picks one, the other picks the other way. The intern went 4-9. Tommy C went 6-7, along with Amy and Michael and Starscream Josh. And Sheila went 7-6. One spreadsheet I can close to move to the next spreadsheet, which has its own sounder. Oh, what a fun, fun, fun fantasy this was for Sabotage. All right. The final scores were Lindsay, 144 for Lindsay. I had 159. The intern had 181. Mike had 185. And the winner, TG Omega, with 187.
Wrong! Nice try. Try again, and don't be a dick about it.
Oh, my bad. 187 for Omega. Winner.
Nope.
I don't have anything else there.
You can tell everybody that, you know, my winning numbers. Go ahead. It's okay.
So before Sabotage, Tim had 259 points. Before Sabotage.
No Sabotage.
Yeah, you can see. You stop building that up. I don't think this is going to make up a 70-point difference.
Tim lost 2 points in Sabotage. He went down to 57. The intern had 197, Mike had 183, Lindsay had 162, I had 168, Omega got to 195.
So who did everyone have?
Okay. So
I had the roster.
There was only one that was negative, and that was Curtis Axel. Went minus, or not Curtis Axel, Kurt Hawkins. Went minus two. Two people picked Kurt Hawkins. Bo Dallas was one person for 9 points. Aiden English was 8. Ellsworth got 16.
Jesus.
And Titus O'Neil had 18.
Oh my
Shut
God.
Up. See, it would figure I would pick somebody who was on a losing streak just before they made manager mm-hmm. and started appearing every week.
Fitting that I would pick Aiden English for you. Which was going well until a pay-per-view victory.
See, Kurt Hawkins was the idea in my head. I figured, oh, everyone's going to pick him. Let's pick somebody interesting who's also on every week and always loses.
Yeah. And here's
and the then thing. They went fucking manager.
And here's the thing with Kurt Hawkins, right? His points were lower for, you know, higher in the negative category for a while. But how many pull-apart brawls have there been this
last yeah, I was going to say.
For a guy who's lost 100 straight matches. He appears on Raw to gain some points. Mike had for the intern, he gave him James Ellsworth. Lindsay had Bo Dallas for me. Kurt Hawkins for Brent had picked Kurt Hawkins. Omega, you picked Titus O'Neil for Lindsay. I picked Aiden English for you. And then Tim picked Kurt Hawkins as well. So there you go. That's WTR Fantasy Season, what, 3, 4, something like that? 4? Yeah.
Goddamn Kurt Hawkins.
See. I had compared my comeback to the Cleveland Indians in Major League. I forgot that they made the in that movie they made the playoffs, but they lost at the division.
Jesus Christ!
So before we exit and everything, so last night we were doing some math, and there was such a chance, Tim, you would have lost this thing.
Yeah, and as of last night, all the betting odds were actually in favor of you losing to me. And most of them still were. They actually swerved a lot of the big money odds.
Yeah.
This was bullshit. Clap, 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 clap.
Like, if because Bailey got injured, so he didn't have a chance there, but he got the row. He got Seth. He got Dean. He had Tozawa, and that's where the thing started to go downhill from there when he lost.
Yeah, lost. Yeah, Tozawa lost.
Oh, that's why you were crappy about it. Okay.
Well, he's been my points bitch. Like, he's been my most consistent point earner.
You just call him your points bitch?
Yes. He did. He called him his points bitch.
He won every week forever. Until tonight.
And that's how.
But yeah, like, sort of went, yeah. Sanity won. You know, 2/3 of the Shield won. You know, that all went well. And then, you know, nothing else went well.
Naomi lost the belt.
Naomi lost a belt.
Roman
didn't win. Thought I lost another belt in there somewhere, too.
The Tozawa belt.
Yeah, Tozawa, yeah.
Because if it went the way we had originally thought it would tonight, the difference between you two before Sabotage was 2 points.
And I was down by 2, so Sabotage would have won it to me if it played that way.
If it played out.
God damn it, that would have been hilarious.
It would have won.
I would have definitely called shenanigans.
And it was all, and eventually it was going to all hinge.
Don't hinder the gender.
It was going to hinge on the Jinder Mahal match.
Shinsuke was a huge favorite going into this too.
And that was going to be the breaking point. So that's season 4, that's how it ended. Almost ended epically. It did not do so much, but hey, it was a lot of fun. We'll be doing another season. We have to come up with new rules and some stuff. Make some tweaks.
Is that 2 seasons in a row I came in second?
Did you come in second last time?
I want to say yes.
I would have to go back and look. But yeah, so me and Omega have come up with some new rules and sort of come up with it. And
I already know it.
I know you know it. But we're going to wait until we figure out when the Superstar Draft happens. That way, you know, we can make sure it's proper and stuff like that. So season 5 will come at some point here in the not so distant future. So yes, Maggie, you were second place last time.
Hey, this is the first
This is the first season in a row that I came in first.
There you go. And I'm
now the only one who hasn't won a season.
Mike hasn't won.
All right.
Shut up.
It's just you and me.
And you were in second place. Again, you were in second place by a large margin last time, too. So, got to make the gap a little closer.
You played the fucking WrestleMania game that time. I'm trying.
Hey, you played the babyface game this time. How'd that work out for you?
Hey, I'm trying to keep them from costing me points every goddamn week.
And then you had Enzo and Cass.
Didn't work. Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
That worked.
I don't know what I was thinking there. I didn't need a tag team. I had a tag team.
Anyway, that's WTR Fantasy. That's WTR Sunday Night. Tim, plug.
We're done for the evening, but the fun rolls on every single day of the week, practically, except for Wednesday. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw show, which Mr. Stubborn refuses to call anything but the Raw Post Show.
Because there's branded imaging, we've been using the same name, I'm not going to change anything. It's the Raw Post Show, Monday night, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Right after wrestling. On Tuesday nights, it is an episode of SimCity, WTR Sims, twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Watch all of us as wrestling characters in the video game known as WWE 2K17 as we fight for stuff.
Yes, there will be no WTR Sims this Tuesday night, but go back and listen. Watch WTR Summerfest, now available at youtube.com/rackradioshow.
I won. Who did I fight? I won. I beat somebody. Who did I beat last week?
Do you remember who you beat?
Somebody.
I got my ass kicked by a fake character.
Oh, I remember. It was somebody not worth remembering because he just like... I'm kidding, Matt. I'm just teasing Matt. I beat the guy who lost to the coin.
And now the coin is the WTR champion. So anyway, check out WTR Sims, usually every Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, and of course, every Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
We'll have a SummerSlam review, and we will have the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 review with the NXT analyst TJ Omega, and the assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional analyst, the intern King Kittens. Tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Search Rack Radio Show.
And, of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as I get to it, another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, Charles Mattinson's favorite webcast, CB Radio.
Last night we did Candy. This week we're doing the most colorful debate we've ever done. What is the all-time greatest color? We'll tell you in the greater than great debate.
Red.
What is the color? Find out.
Red.
We're doing colors this Saturday night. See Bray live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
And of course, next Saturday night, back
to you, Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that. Next Sunday night, regular time, back to it again with WTR Sunday night, another edition of Rust Talk Radio. We'll figure out something to talk about. Maybe we'll spend 45 minutes on in-depth analysis. Omega takes a look at the upcoming NHL hockey season.
No.
That's 45 minutes of Omega saying, no. No, we'll do some. Don't worry about it. Tune in and be happy about it. Speaking of which, don't forget you can listen to us on TuneIn. Download it 100% free on your mobile device. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Take us with you. Well, you go camping, right, Matt? Exactly. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio on the Twitters at WTR Sunday Night. Check out Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums. There's a reason why it's called Flames Forums. I talk wrestling, but I also talk hockey and other sports, too. I'm also politically incorrect, and I say what I think. And so if you like to be offended, follow me. Check out Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Russell Talk Radio is on there, too, facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. I think I'm done my plugging. Why don't we send it to Omega Man?
Before Omega begins, here you go, Omega. Here's an intro for it.
It's time to throw more sticks into the fire as Fire on Ice continues on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Last time we gave a shit about hockey, it was Wayne Gretzky on the Nintendo 64.
Hey, you lost to Omegatron or whatever his name is.
Yes, you can follow me on the internet. I'm located over on Facebook at TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me at TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel, which is getting a crap ton of updates between all my silly little toy videos and all my silly little convention videos. And for a whole bunch of new stuff, there is TJOmega.net. Oh, and just for shits and giggles, I'm posting stuff to TJOmega.tumblr.com now as well.
There you go. Also, go watch his videos. Go buy his stuff on eBay for reasons.
Yeah.
Because money.
He needs money.
Please stay tuned for my upcoming kidney auction.
Omega needs braces. Please
I'm not. I've never drank a day in my life. They're very, very well kept.
So we'll
you never drank a day in your life? Then I don't want your kidneys. I don't trust them.
We're going to start the bidding off at $1, so anything above that would be great.
$1.05.
There you go. We're going to build up. We have an offer for $1.05 for his kidney.
But I better get a damn kidney.
How about a kid's knee?
Sorry, you need to meet the minimum reserve price.
Really? A kid's knee?
And the minimum reserve price is really, really high.
Anyway. It's actually a kidney bean.
It's kidney bean.
So it's $1.07. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Close. Close. You have the right numbers. It's not in the right order. Mike.
Anyway, so for all of you guys that wanted to talk to the Oreo, fuck the revival, you go ahead and catch me on the Twitter page.
Hashtag it,
fuck the revival. Hashtag fuck the revival. Hit me up on the Twitter page, the WTR Oreo, fuck the revival. And yeah, you can add me, fuck Team Rock. And
hashtag it.
We can all just enjoy, you know, see, talk to me, I'll talk to you. Fuck hashtag Team Intern. And yeah.
Fuck Team Intern, get it
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that same thing, you know, hashtag fuck Team Omega.
But Tim's the one who won, so why didn't you say fuck him?
Which is why we're going to do a fuck, hashtag fuck that nigga, Team Tim.
There you go. I like that. I get like pedestaled, and I feel like a kindred spirit now. Thanks very much, Mike.
Say goodbye, Tim.
Hashtag fuck that nigga. Yeah, don't say that.
Don't you say. Good night, everybody.
Hey, wait a minute. You said I could say it once. And you just want or. I want an answer.
WildTalkRadio.com.